That's where it started off. Banter, 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 banter.
That's how we do it? Oh my god, we're so clever.
Oh, your hair, you put it down. Look at that lion mane you got going.
Yeah, look at those waves. Look how long it is. What the fuck? Good job.
Sorry.
Good job, hair.
So long. I think I found a way to do waves that doesn't weigh my hair down or drive me crazy. So I'm going to try this for a couple of days.
What did you do?
I have some air dry foam that I really like. But I've been putting it on damp hair. Like, I get out of the shower, I put my hair in my towel, and then a few minutes, like 15, 20 minutes later, I'll go and I'll do the foam. Yeah. But this morning, I soaked my hair and put it on with my hair dripping wet, and I think that helped. And then I used the diffuser to dry it out. So hopefully it's a little bit frizzy. Hopefully that'll go away after a few times. But yeah, I'm going to try and, now that my bangs have grown out, I'm going to try and nurture the natural wave of my hair.
Ooh, so pretty.
That's cute.
What's wrong with laughing?
Laugh all you want.
Makes me feel insecure.
Okay.
She's not like laughing at you.
Everything's about you.
Anna. Okay?
I was talking and then you start laughing.
Because you're cute.
So what are you laughing
at? Shut up. After, like, looked at something and you're like, aw, and then you laugh. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's not like badly intentioned. It's like well intentioned.
If you think I'm making fun of you, that's how you perceive it, not how I meant it. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, the girls are fighting. It's almost like
fighting. Joy would be on silent because she'd be like.
It's almost like this film we're watching where the bitches are fighting.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Okay, look at you with a segue. Wow,
love a segue.
Okay, well, hey friends, welcome back to another episode of We Have Thoughts. A podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And I'm Anna.
That's right. And we're back in our time machine heading to the 81st Annual Academy Awards, doing our Oscar Rewind series, where we're discussing the 2009 Best Picture nominees. Let's see. The movie being discussed today is Frost Nixon. Frost Nixon is a dramatic retelling of the post-Watergate television interview between British talk show host David Frost and former President Richard Nixon. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Best Actor for Frank Langella, Best Directing Ron Howard, Best Adapted Screenplay Peter Morgan, and Best Film Editing Mike Hill and Daniel P. Hanley. With 5 nominations total and 0 wins, this is Frost Nixon. My friends, what are your thoughts on Frost Nixon, and what other verbal matchups would you want to see other than me and Anna?
Ooh, I feel like I've seen you and Anna before. I feel like that's a pretty even keel. I feel like I don't know. First of all, who would you match me up with? Who could I fight with? Although I think I do it all the time, so.
And don't say yourself, because you fight with yourself all the time. Does not count.
Yeah, literally. So, bitch, nah.
I meant, like, not us, but, like, other people. I don't.
Okay, like, famous people. Like, who would we pit against each other?
Verbal matchups, you know.
Verbal matchups. Who's good with talking? Who can't shut up?
Well, Joy and then...
Me. let me see. You asked me off the cuff, and now my brain is empty. Damn it!
I forgot who the crowd I'm speaking to was. So, anyways, we'll just go back to the
brain empty. No thoughts.
I think another film in this style could totally be Oprah with Harry and Meghan.
Meghan, yeah.
Oh.
Were you silent? Or are you silenced? You know what I'm saying?
That line is iconic.
I want to know the drama between, like, getting that set up.
Yeah.
And what they were. Great.
Yeah. Because that was a huge deal. That was a huge deal. I remember watching that when that premiered. Like, it was not that long ago.
but it was monumental in the sense that everything Meghan and Harry did is monumental because he was the first one to say, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to play your game.
Crown.
That's a big deal. But anyways, back to this movie. What do we think of the movie? Have we seen it before?
This was my first time.
Same.
First time caller, first time viewer.
Not my first time. My second time.
Really?
Yeah, and I was so excited to rewatch this movie as an adult. And guess what? It paid off. It was different.
It hits different post-Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it also hits different as, like, an adult, like, understanding, like, history and politics a little bit better now. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because Richard Nixon was such a bitch. Oh, my God. He is a politician through and through. I am not sorry to this man. That
did you think she was doing an impression?
He a bitch. That's what you said. That was amazing.
Like, okay, first of all, it's not too much to ask for you to be at least say I'm sorry for what you did in office. Like, that's the bare minimum. Bare minimum.
Well, same thing, like, ever. So, I mean,
I know, but like, he was like, okay, so I obviously this is like a fictional retelling of the characterization of Nixon, but he was such a bitch in this. Because, like, of course, a person who would, like, try to sneak information from the other side or whatever, and then just be, like, to have actual quotes of him being, like, well, I mean, we could just threaten them. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the power went to your head. The power went to your head, and you're crazy now, and people like this should not be in power, but they're the ones who can speak their way into it. Obviously, he's an intelligent man. And that's what, you know, what's his name? Frost had so many issues with because he just couldn't keep up. He just didn't bother to try for the first, like, four parts. Anyways, also, great movie.
Him being so swarmy and gross outside of the interview, like him telling him, like, oh, you need to marry her because she'll have access to a Swiss bank account or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I wasn't planning on being a fraud, but okay.
Right.
Or like when he says, because they're talking about Robert Frost, and he's like, oh yeah, she was engaged to somebody or something, and he was like, oh, isn't she black? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, about Robert Frost.
Like, oh, you're just a son of a bitch.
And which I knew that, but like.
Yeah.
You know. To have it portrayed, it's like it's different. It's interesting to say the least. And it makes for, honestly, I think it makes for great TV, great movie, great film, because he's such a character, and
there's a lot of stuff to chew on there.
Yeah, Frank Langella like soaks it up and like is like oozing Nixon from every pore. Like he's really like he's living for the drama, he's going all out. And like even in the quieter moments, it was still strong. So I really, really enjoyed this performance.
I agree. Sorry, go ahead, Anna.
No, I was gonna say you could just tell that this because of the way things flowed and the back and forth was so great, you could tell this definitely came from the stage. Like this being a play first, you feel that energy and why it would have worked so well on stage.
I think it works well because the two leads have a good back and forth. They could have done this in a parking lot and it would have worked because those two are so good. Their back and forth is fantastic. Like,
great chemistry.
I love the I don't know if it was like an acting choice, a directing choice, but the pacing of their phrases. Frank Langella, there's a, when he's, you know, he admits to everything happened, and there's like a, hold on, where is it? Sorry, my notes are not here. Sorry. Oh, there's like a long, he asked him, and there's a long pause, like longer than it feels like it should be, but a long pause before he says, "I let them down," as if he's like realizing it. The pacing of the phrases are phenomenal. Like, that's high caliber stuff that doesn't feel like it's difficult, but the actors doing the job,
right?
Monumental. Like, if it's similar to when we were watching Women Talking, how like a movie can be compelling yes. when people are just talking and having conversations.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. But this cast is stacked. It was such a good cast of people. Good. Oliver Platt is great. I love Sam Rockwell. Kevin Bacon was great. Michael Sheen, I think, was phenomenal.
Toby Jones is the cast. Quality.
Yeah.
Who? Like, oh yes, Toby Jones. Yeah.
What can he do?
But watch, like I said, you know, watching this post Trump, that Sam Rockwell's entrance, his opening monologue, hit. I was like, this could be said about right now. This is very current.
Phenomenal. Like, I love. He's clearly like, he's so angry and like he wants to like punch something, but he's an adult professional, and like you can see all that register on his voice. I think Sam Rockwell did a phenomenal job, and I would have been okay if he got nominated for this role. I'm not playing. He was that good.
Yeah.
Like that first episode was like, wow. Okay. Like, you feel it. You feel his anger. You feel it boiling here in his chest, and he just wants to, like, Hulk out, you know? But fantastic. So good.
Honestly, as adults, you know, I think every once in a while, we should be able to Hulk out, because, like...
those rooms where you can, like, break things up, like...
I need to go to one of those rooms so badly, because I am a fucking professional. But, like, bitch, I just need 5 minutes in one of those rooms. Just 5 minutes. I think that would solve my problems. You know who else was good? Kevin Bacon. I feel like Kevin Bacon's always good. He's such a reliable actor. He's just one of those. But I feel like he was so great in this. And, like, the restraint and the face acting that he had here, I was like, man, everyone is just chewing up these scenes. And, like, everyone is making the most of any little bit, even like one frame of screen time that they have. They know what they're doing. They're being intentional with it. They don't have to be over the top with it if the character isn't, you know, it doesn't call for that. But like, it's just great.
Also, you could tell how much he genuinely cared about Nixon.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which was like, so yes, interesting.
That's my president. Very formal, but also, that's a man I've worked with and I care for deeply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was,
and to watch him struggle through this. Yeah.
Yeah. In his body language. It was kind of like his dad up there or something, in a sense. You know, he felt very close to him. And I was like, wow, Kevin Bacon. Like, I didn't think he was a bad actor or anything, but it was nice to see him in like a different like type of role that I guess I haven't seen him do before. Fantastic. So right. Good.
Yeah. It's such a testament to the I think to the writing, and maybe even a little bit the direction too, that like they were able to get these performances out of the actors, because like they're all at like peak performance here. It's all like at their best. I really love what's his name? Frost always has, up until I think the last interview, Frost always has a smile on his face, whether it's I'm smiling for the cameras, or I'm smiling with apprehension, or I'm smiling but I'm like lost or scared. Like, there's always a smile, whether it's genuine or not. And I think it's hardly ever genuine. But
that's
he never drops his performance. He never ever until that last interview, when he finally fucking takes it fucking seriously. Because I was just like Sam Rockwell, I was like, bitch, fucking do your job.
Like,
why are you're putting you're investing your entire career, your entire reputation, all the money you don't fucking have, To do what? To just sit there and make him look nice? Like, bitch, do your fucking job. Take this seriously.
They didn't really touch on it too much, at least not directly, but I think it's interesting that, you know, it's easy for him to be nonchalant about it because he's not an American. Like, this isn't directly affecting him too much, as much as, like, Sam Rockwell was like, this is me. Like, I live here. This is a big deal. And the fact that you don't get it makes me angrier. Like,
I think what helped was definitely them, Frank Langella and Michael Sheen, coming off the Broadway run. Like, this was already in their bones so well that when they got on screen, it was like, oh, this is just, like, oozing out of them almost.
I said, they could have done it in the parking lot. It would have been amazing. Like, they were that good.
Amen. I think what would have been nice to touch on, because it was kind of, like, hinted at and mentioned that, you know, David Frost is going out and he's having to raise all of this money and try to find this money, and he's trying to make a name for himself. And so that's why he, like, wasn't around all the time for prep. But then he gets in there and I was like, you honestly didn't do shit to prepare for this.
Yeah. He's got, like, 3 bullet points and thinking, yeah, I can go up against a man who just literally spins lies with every word that comes out of his mouth.
But also, like, just the intimidation factor of talking to a president, even though he's a bad man. This man has been in rooms that I'll never even dream about being in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to talk to him, like, tell me how you fucked up.
Well, yeah, that's the UK, like, arrogance about it. Like, well, it's just whatever. Just another interview. Well, everyone around him was like, no, bitch, it's not.
It's more serious than that. Yeah, and I think, and you know what? I think there is something to be said, like in the real world, like in the real world, to have someone that's not of your nationality or not from the same place of, like, wherever this politics is happening, to get an outsider's perspective. But I think that you still have to, as a journalist, which I get it. He wasn't exactly a journalist. He was a talk show host, but like, as a journalist, you should do your due diligence and be like, okay, so taking my perspective as someone who is not from here, who does not live the reality of having this person lead the nation, versus, like, also including the perspectives of people who do live here, who do feel a certain way about something, whether it's super positive or super negative, but, like, you have to take all of those things into consideration, especially if this interview that you're doing about him is a career-long interview. It's not just about, like, oh, what happened since you got out of the presidency? No, what happened during your presidency? What happened before then? Like, you even broke it down in parts. It could not have been made any easier for you. All of these people were doing all the research and all the work, and, like, I get it, you're a talk show host, but you couldn't take the fucking few months out of your fucking life to be like, okay, maybe I should invest and, like, invest my own time and my own knowledge and actually, like, try, because this isn't just, like, some little, like, this isn't like Graham Norton. Just, like, even Graham Norton does research. He researches shit that nobody else can find. Come on.
I also love that this took place in some random ass house. You know, it wasn't in a studio. It wasn't at, you know, the president's nice villa. Mm-hmm. It was some random Republican donor's house.
Yeah. That house doesn't exist. Like, I think somebody lives there now.
And you know what? Yeah. It like, it's also kind of like one of those things. Everything about, like, when journalists do interviews like this, everything is intentional. Like, you pick a random house, okay, it's seemingly random. But, like, if you put him in his fucking villa, then everyone's going to vilify him even more because, oh, my God, look at all this rich shit he has, and look at how bad we are.
Encounter moves.
Right, exactly. It's all about perception. You're literally on the TV. He already knew he wasn't good for TV, so he already was prepared. They already put in a contract that he had to do certain things. Like, it's all about the perspective. And, like, the fact that, like, Frost couldn't see this and was just, like, not taking it seriously, even after fucking 2 interviews. Okay, the first one, all right, I fucked up. All right, I'm sorry, guys. I'll get it together next time. But then not following through on that, ugh, God. Just, I couldn't. I can't. So, okay, I'm done. No, wait, I'm not done. Actually, Matthew McFadden. Oh my God, I forgot
that he was wig?
I forgot he was in this movie.
I know.
I love him so much.
We got to see his little white butt.
Oh my God. I did not expect that. But also, like, he's so good in everything. Can he ever be bad at something? I don't think so. I haven't seen it, and I don't expect to ever see it. He's just so great. What a great supporting cast. All of them awards. Did they win the SAG? I'm going to look this up because I feel like they should have won the SAG. Let me check.
Yeah, I am, even though Frank Langella, not a good person, but I do think he was a phenomenal actor. I think he's a phenomenal actor.
Frank Langella's not a good person?
Since when? What happened? Oh, no.
Yeah, he got, like, booted off a movie because he was, like, groping people or something. It's like, recently, like.
What?
Oh my God.
Gotta throw the whole man away.
Here it is. He was replaced with Bruce Greenwood. I'm glad I saved it. In the series The Fall of the House of Usher, after he was fired for alleged on-set conduct, misconduct for people.
The Netflix movie, the Netflix series. Well,
nice to know that our boy. Oh God, what's his fucking name? The guy who did Midnight Mass.
Oh, Mike. Mike. Mike, I want to say Mike Wazowski.
Don't you know that he doesn't put up with assholes, is what I mean to say.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan, thank you. The whole time I watched this movie.
I don't think it went any farther, but it was alleged.
Yeah. The whole time I watched this movie, I had Anne Hathaway singing Frank Langella sitting right next to me from the opening number.
The opening. Oh my God.
Literally on a repeat in my head. I was like, shut up, Anne Hathaway. My God.
I loved, I think we talked about it a little bit, but the pacing of this movie is phenomenal. It was 2 hours, didn't feel like it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it was moving very quickly, but none of it felt rushed. None of it felt like I wasn't getting information. Like, it's, the movie itself, the concept's very simple, and I think it's very masterful to extend that to 2 hours to make it engaging and exciting. Bravo, to everyone. Like, oh my God.
I loved all the parts where, like, Nixon's doing everything he can to disarm him before the interview starts, like making like weird comments, like literally as the lights go on.
Yeah,
like, I was like, the mind games.
I know. It's so psychological. It's so fucked up. But like, obviously it works. Playing mind games works. This is how they get. Yeah. This is how they get, you know, so far.
He's doing the interview, and then like Michael Sheen shows him the footage of, you know, of all that. And I was like, show him the footage. Show him. Make him watch it.
Play the tapes. Oh my God. I'm glad he finally like stepped it up in the end and was like, okay, whatever you were giving me, I'm gonna give it back to you because you can't just like you can't just get off so easy.
And maybe this was a lesson for Robert Frost, because before this he was like, everything is easy, and he found an opponent that challenged him interview wise, you know, because even though he was a talk show host, he probably wasn't interviewing people who were of that caliber, of that salaciousness, you know. So he thought, oh, this is easy, I got it. And he's like, oh wait.
And like, that's what some of the people that were like, when he would try to go, when he was shopping to the networks are like, I don't think that's gonna work because you're not like a real journalist, like a real
You're not a real journalist. You're a fake.
What was I?
I really loved the line where he's talking about like the aftermath and how afterwards he was told to get rid of Haldeman and Ellerkman, and he was like, "I cut off one arm, I cut off the other, and I'm not a very good butcher."
Oh.
That line just stuck out to me, and I was like, yeah.
He has some really good lines.
I like, that's when, like, when their president doesn't fight illegal. Girl!
Bitch!
Oof.
Bitch, that sounds like somebody.
I literally was like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
I lost this. Let me take a lap. Like,
I'm pretty
and
sure
I've heard that before, but I think that. In the content of the contents of the movie and everything, I was like, oh.
Right. Yeah. That was another line where it's like, is this happening in the 70s or now?
I mean, so, okay, so for sake of conversation, so Richard Nixon was interviewed by Frank Langella, by David Frost, another president who's been impeached. Who would interview him? Who do you think would be an interesting
Graham Norton.
John Stewart or Colbert could take a good stab at him, because Colbert, I think, would have enough
Colbert
empathy.
Would do great, yeah.
But I would, I think I meant like British, but yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. But Colbert would be a good choice, yeah. Because I think John British Stewart, he's very emotional, and that's okay. But I feel like Colbert would do a good job of like easing his way into him and then be like, "Watch out!" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
British.
I only know one.
I'm blanking on British. or Australian, because his show was in Australia initially, or one of his shows in Australia, David Frost. So.
Do I not know any Australians? I guess
John
not.
Oliver.
John Oliver. Yeah, there you go.
Would be very
actually
good.
John Oliver would be perfect, because John
I don't
Oliver
know that he would
knows
do
how
it.
To.
Like not John. I don't know that Donald Trump would actually do it, but.
No.
He would never do it.
Doing something where he doesn't have A, control, or B, where he has to make a lick of sense. He's not going to do it.
Ugh. See, we're talking about him now. I'm itchy. Ugh, all right.
And you know what? That's why Nixon said yes, because he was like, oh, well, this is going to be a cakewalk. This is going to be no problem. Yeah. Like, I'm going to eat this guy for breakfast. No big deal.
And where's his Italian
loafers? And he almost did.
Mm. Although I do wish that I could charge someone $200,000 for my time.
Right?
Oh, basically.
Bitch, I wish.
We're like, the price is $400,000. Okay.
Yeah.
For my like time minutes. Is precious. I'm it skipping a nap valuable. To be here.
A cool million. Thank you. I'm skipping a nap to be here. When are you not skipping a nap? You're skipping a nap now, probably, aren't you?
I'm also skipping a nap, yes. My nap is called sleep.
It was a long day with the children.
You know, oh, okay. So a great scene to kind of like, I guess, humanize him was the after hours phone call that Nixon does to Frost, where he's talking about
which never happened, actually. That's made up.
Right. But for the sake of the narrative, genius. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I love that he didn't remember it. I love that he didn't remember it. And he was just too drunk and, like, too whatever.
Old manny about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Question, mm-hmm. Anna. I know you are, like, it needs to be not in the movie. So how do you feel about them taking, you know, liberties in a film like this?
That doesn't bother me. They're not completely changing the narrative. They took something that Nixon did do. He did do late night drunken phone calls with like world leaders, and there's record of him late night on the phone in the Oval Office. So they took something that was real and they used it to, you know, give their story a little oomph. It didn't change the way Frost was in the interview. It didn't change the way Nixon answered, so it's fine. I think if they had used it to then like rewrite that final interview, then that I think would be an issue.
Yeah, but I tend to agree with that. I think when it comes to like biopics of nature, I like this kind where it's just like a single event. It's not someone's whole entire life. It's just, what did they do in this moment, in this time, whatever. And a lot of people, like, when I read about biopics in general, it's always like, this isn't correct. Well, watch a documentary or, like, read a book about them. This is, that's not what this is. Like, it's made to entertain because it's a movie. It's not meant to educate you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I love The Crown, Peter Morgan. I love The Crown very much, but, like, I know it's not the real thing, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's just a really pretty, gorgeous thing to watch.
In the past, my main issue was like, okay, yeah, tell this story. Like, Captain Phillips didn't have to be like 100% accurate, but the fact that they made him out to be this like super good guy, and everyone else is saying like no, he treated us like shit, and he didn't do anything to help us that day. Like, then why, yeah. like, then write a fictional tale based on
Not
telling the story of.
Well, I think it is because that's how they cover it. It's the based on true events. So it's, like, not the real events. And I have the same issue with Dallas Buyers Club, how they made, what's his name, like, a crazy homophobe-y, like, what's which, that to me, well, I won't get into that, but that maybe made me...
Not again.
Well, then I guess my issue is more within the promotion of, they're like, they're telling the tale of this amazing man who really went through this.
That's marketing.
But you're not.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's why they say it's based on, rather than, like, this is a true for whatever telling.
Yeah.
I think if you get essentially the purpose correct, I think that that's fine. But yeah, like Dallas Buyers Club, that's a total fucking letdown. That's stupid. This it didn't change.
Right.
You know, his personality, his characterization, it was very in line with who you knew these men already were.
Yeah, and the meat of what we watched was heavily documented, so yeah, it would be correct.
Right.
So yeah. I think it was smart to what they embellished was small, and it was around the main pie, you know.
Right.
Again, good writing.
Ah! Yeah. Cause what really happened to make Frost kick it into gear in that last interview? We don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I love the idea that it was, you know, the president challenging him, like, come for me.
Yeah. Come at me, bro. That's basically what he said.
Which Paris I do love him. a good head to head, like, two people at their best. Like, especially, like, acting wise. Like, here we're seeing two people, like, at their peak acting wise. Like, they're doing so well. Like, what other stuff?
You know, we've
seen so many things.
I think you guys would really love it. There's, in the final season of The West Wing, they have an episode called The Debate, where the two presidential candidates, it's Alan Alda and
What's his name?
My gosh. Yes.
The president.
No, Sheen. Not him.
No.
It's not Martin Sheen, because it's his presidency is ending.
Oh, so it's the next ones.
Yes. I'm looking it up as I talk. But they did a live debate. And they did it twice for both broadcasts.
Shut up.
Network TV used to be so cool.
Yeah.
God. Now we just have fucking Netflix. Cancels everything.
Very, very cool to watch. Even Jimmy Smits.
Yes! Oh. I vaguely remember that. I fucking love Jimmy Smits. He's the best.
Jimmy Smits up against Alan Alda, and there wasn't really, they had a basic idea of how to answer, but there was not, a script, I don't believe.
There wasn't?
I don't think it was, a line for line, here's what you have to say. It's, here's, it's like, you know, points. Your talking point. And they got a real real person to do to ask the questions. Yeah, so it felt like a real debate. And the fact that they did it for both broadcasts, I thought was so cool.
You have to be on your game, talented to be able to do that. Yes. Not anyone can just do that. Like, that's improv, but different kind of improv. Like, that's amazing.
Next level.
Drama improv. Drama improv. First of all, why don't we have more of that? We should have a sketch show that's just drama. Role. Oh my God. I need drama improv. That's what I need. Improv, cool. But drama improv, bitch. Do you guys remember when we would sit on the couch and act out scripts at each other?
Oh my God, we are so cringe. I love us. Stupid.
But Joy, literally, that's what the D&D show Critical Role is. It's these people their characters fall in love with each other, and they're having these emotional heart to hearts, and people are dying and they're crying at the table. It is so fucking good, and it's all off the cuff. It's all improvised storytelling, and it's so fucking good.
Okay, I have to watch it. I have to watch it, but I also have to know where to start.
Scream from the Mountaintops. Anything D&D related, watch it, love it, play it, be it, do
not
it.
Anything, but
okay.
Sorry, I thought I clicked mute.
Joy, Joy, there's a button of microphone.
I thought I clicked it.
If you click on it, it'll go gray, and that means you're silent.
I'm going to put the mic in my mouth when I burp now.
So anything you gotta do, you can mute, okay? Pop quiz. Where's the mute button?
Right
on there. So the end of the movie where Nixon is like by himself and, you know, all these other things, it reminded me of the end of The People vs. O.J. Simpson. How essentially O.J. won and he's like, yeah, I'm the man, whatever. And then there's like an ending scene where he's just like by himself. He's in his house is a party. There's a party because he was acquitted or whatever.
He was acquitted.
Yeah, so it's a party, all these people he doesn't really know, and he just kind of goes into a room by himself and he's just silent and just sits there. Kind of just sits with who he is and what happened. And that was similar vibes to this movie. And I was like, oh man, that's so good.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what he's thinking, but we can see in his face that like he's just a stupid, sad man. You know what I mean?
Like,
not enough to make us feel bad for him, but like,
go.
To see that was just, very well.
If anything, it makes me happy. So, different.
Yeah, he made it to the very top and fumbled it so bad.
Seriously, so bad. Like, I think when people get overconfident and they just like basically shoot themselves in the foot. Oh my God, it's just
the fall from grace. Well, and who tells the president no?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing too. We didn't talk about it, but the same with oh my God, what's her name with Bill Clinton? I forgot her name.
Oh, Monica Lewinsky?
Yes. Like, who would say, no? Like, that's a huge, power dynamic. Like, what?
Yeah, her career is in his hands.
21. That's so young.
And it's like, there's all of these checks and balances that are supposed to help, but when you're in the room with the president and he's telling you to do something, how do you say no, Mr. President?
And, like, when you're that young, someone older is good looking, even if they're not really that good looking, but they are because they're so much more an adult than you are.
To have someone of that caliber, of that power, throw attention
be
on
interested
you,
in you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't matter what
I'm not. Like. I'm special. I'm not nobody.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He sees something in me.
Yeah. Ugh.
We all fall for that. We all do. Just hers was like really high caliber, you know?
Yeah, it was really high profile. Like,
When it happened, I was obviously a child, and I just remember, like, them talking shit about her, and I just, watching it as an adult, I was like, oh, girl, like, she was so young, and I just, it was just really heartbreaking to watch all that. I feel bad.
Yeah. There's a shot in here.
You're on mute,
really,
babe.
Like...
Joy, you're on mute. Oh my gosh, she just saw the mute button. Yay!
See, I tested it. It worked.
There's a shot in here of the side profile. I think it's the poster, actually, the side profile of Nixon with Frost in the background. I thought it was so good. Like, just the subtle turn of his head and the lighting. It was
gorgeous.
Juicy, juicy, juicy good.
There's even a piano transition of, like, I believe it's Frost's birthday party. And he's playing the piano and then it turns into Nixon playing in his house.
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
that was good.
Delicious.
I literally went, that's
delicious.
I'm gonna clap for that. Let me look at this. Yeah, I see if I missed. Reminds me that I need to watch that. There's a CNN documentary series of the decades, and Joy and I were watching them before we parted, and they took them off Max for whatever reason. I forgot.
Because they're stupid.
But no, oh, I know why. Because CNN had its own stream service, and it did not last like 6 months.
Yeah.
And so now they're back on Max. They're finally back on Max. So I'm gonna go back and watch those because I remember them talking about like
they are back on Max.
Yeah. So I'm gonna watch those. I love Frank's voice, Frank Langella's voice.
Yeah.
The tone of his voice.
Uh huh.
Oh man, he doesn't. In the beginning, I was like, he looks nothing like Richard Nixon. But later, as the movie kept going, I was like, maybe he does. But in the beginning, I was like, he'll look like him, but actually, I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah, I think he personifies him enough in, like, in mannerisms, in his diction, in his, like, expressions, his body language, everything. Especially, like, I really like that they were talking about it in, like, the voiceover of that shot when he's finally, like, defeated. Like, you, during the interview, when it registers in his face, like, okay, like, that's it. I'm done. Like, there's no more, there's nothing else for me here.
Yeah. Also, I loved that face acting. Crystal, you had mentioned it earlier when he's finally admitting and he says, and the American people, and there's that pause, like his face says so much. But then also in the very beginning, what drew Frost in when he's saying like bye on the plane and he's waving and he's got his little peace signs and then his face falls. And you can just see like all of it was there in that face. And Frost was like, I need it.
Yeah, because Frost is also a performer. He understands what it is to put on a face. So he's like, oh, I know what that is. Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Fantastic.
And he was smart in like catching that and trying to get it as soon as possible. Before anyone else got it, he just like was not ready for what was about to hit him.
Yeah.
But also knowing like the leg up he had in being who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he was an American talk show host, different story. But the fact that he's this British Australian talk show host and he failed here in America, Nixon's like, oh, this is gonna be easy. They can say I came out and did this. I did my interview, and it was with this.
You know, I thought in this research, I had no idea. I learned that Franklin Jell is actually American. I thought he was British this entire time. I don't know why. He just reeks of like European to me. He's from America. I'm like, oh, okay.
Who am I confusing him with? Because there's an actor, but he's also mostly a director.
Ooh, keep going.
I thought it was Frank Langella. Looks like Frank Langella, like that same kind of.
Do you know what movies he's directed and or acted in?
No, and that's why it's been driving me crazy. I also think
I love this game.
Oh, is it Christopher Lee? That guy from Star Wars? He does look like him. I just Googled who looks like him and that's what
popped up. Angela look like.
Yeah, Christopher Lee.
in Sam Rockwell's first scene, he says, I forgot what the phrase is exactly, but he says, Little Lord Fauntleroy, and I was like, oh, you mean Fauntleroy?
Yeah. I rewinded it, and I was like, Succession.
Oh, man. I miss that show so much.
Oh, my God.
Let's see.
I miss that show.
Cottage cheese and pineapple sounds disgusting. I forgot why I wrote that.
Because
that's his eat that hamburger.
After his stroke or something.
Foul. Ew. Just let me die.
Right?
That's what my brain looks like. Oh. when Frost is finally getting shit together and he has like all these papers everywhere and like strings in a wall. It's like, that's what my brain looks like.
It's like that meme whenever I'm, that meme, what is it from? It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
And then whenever I see that, I always think of that time you were like, oh my God, Joy, that's you when you tried to talk about Game of Thrones.
Literally, your eyes all red and bloodshot. You haven't slept in 3 days. and then Cersei, because but they love each other. And she's the one that should be running everything.
I never said that.
You thought it. No.
No, Sansa should be running everything, but don't get me started.
Sansa, that's right. My bad. I should have been Sansa. I wish that Rebecca Hall had more to do. She was just kind of there as the girlfriend.
Yeah, but I did love her outfits, though.
I like that she was there, because she provided some, like, I was like, finally a woman in this movie. but she just didn't do anything, and I was like, I guess really they didn't necessarily need her. Really, but I like that she was there. What else?
I'm getting the name Joe.
Joe? Joe Schmo.
I don't know. So 1977 is the same year. This was the year of the interviews. It's actually the same year that Harvey Milk was elected to office.
Oh,
look at that. We're going to talk about next week. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Yeah.
Also, I read that the stage play is just interviews. It's not like the stuff around it.
Oh. Which I would be down for that. Very cool. Oh my God. Yeah. So I would have loved to have seen that.
Right. So I think in the instance of it being adapted, which we'll get to later, that's pretty good. If it's just, they're taking just the interviews to expand it to a movie. I mean, come on now. Anyways, any last notes before we go into categories?
None for me.
Yeah, I think that's all my notes.
That's all.
That's all my notes.
Okay, so then let's go to Best Picture. What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah, this was a good film.
Yeah, agree, and it holds up. I think honestly, like even if it was just about like a fake president and a fake interview, it's still a good movie, you know. But I think it hits more because, like, you know, it actually happened. Okay, Best Director, Ron Howard. What do we think?
I wanted to see what else Ron Howard has done. I know he's done, like, a lot of stuff. But for some reason, they're like, I'm totally blanking on what they are. Because I want to compare it to other things that he's done.
So it's funny you say that, because Ron Howard, to me, he does nothing for me, honestly. I'm more of personally a Bryce Dallas fan. But
Yeah, she's great.
I feel like he's not a bad director. He doesn't provide anything to the picture that, like, makes it, that elevates it all. He just does the work, and there you go. Like, there's no, like, at least what I've seen from him. It doesn't feel like, he doesn't take away from the picture, but doesn't provide anything either. He's very middle of the road. Mm. And I feel like, because everyone else was, like, hitting it out of the park, he would have to mess up pretty bad to be directing terribly. Him being there is fine, I guess. Whatever. I don't really know who I would replace him with yet, but,
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I can't... Oh my God, he did the Grinch movie?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's great, but it's not just because of the dirt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, he's serviceable. There you go, that's the word.
I think he's one of those, like, oh my God, and, you know, people are probably going to be like, all people that listen to us, the one person. I feel like he's a very, like, you can just kind of put him in and give him a movie and he'll do what he needs to do, but there's not necessarily, like, a signature to him. Yeah. I don't think he's particularly, I don't know. I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's, like, he's not stylistic. He's not, like, yeah, he's fine. He's adequate.
So him being here, does that bother you?
Nah. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
If the movie wasn't as good, then I have a problem.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so then we have, Best Actor, Frank Langella. What do we think?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sad that Michael Sheen isn't on here.
I think Michael Sheen should be there, honestly.
Yeah.
Replace Brad Pitt with Michael Sheen, because I thought he was that good. There you go. Michael Sheen, it doesn't feel like a good, or like a dynamic performance on the surface, but I think what he's doing with his body movements, his posture, how he's moving through the airport when he, like, takes a picture with that fan, and then
Oh my God, yeah.
That's a performance that doesn't feel like a performance until you're like, oh, wait, that was really good.
Yeah.
And I think because I've seen Michael Sheen in other things, I know that he's doing a good job, you know?
Yeah. At face value, it doesn't seem like much, but...
He is doing things.
He is doing things.
Phenomenal. But so far, my winner is going to be Frank Langella, because he's that good.
Same.
And he won a Tony for this, right? For this performance?
Yes.
I see. Yeah, obviously.
He should. Okay, next is Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yes.
I agree. Completely agree. Phenomenal.
Yes.
Peter Morgan? Girl. I'm a Peter Morgan stan. Like, The Crown is my shit. Like, for real. I love that show so much.
Shut up. Peter Morgan, you bitch. Oh, my God.
Yes. Love him.
Wow. Okay.
Between this and Mitchell and Button that we've seen so far, which is better?
This one, obviously. Yeah. To me, at least.
I agree.
For what?
For adapted
screenplay. Between this and Mitchell and Button, we've talked about of only two so far.
Yeah. Frost Nixon, for sure.
Okay, and then the next is film editing. What do we think about that?
That was for great. Those,
for the few scenes we had talked about, the piano and I forget the other one, but yes.
Yeah, also because they did a good job of making the tension work.
Yeah.
Yeah, they built the tension, and I think they also did a really great job with balancing out the screen time for each of the supporting actors.
Yeah.
I think everybody was there doing what they needed to do, and they focused on the right people at the right time. There wasn't any point in the movie that I was like, oh, I wish I was looking at this person instead of this person. Mm-hmm. Which it could happen because there's so many people to see.
Whatever they cut, they made the correct choices for sure. I don't know if a pacing of a movie is credited to the editing or I'm not sure exactly, but I thought the pacing was phenomenal in this movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great.
Concur.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Frost Nixon. What are our rankings?
Oh, it's so
really
hard.
I really struggle.
Yeah?
I'm not joking. Like, the romantic in me loves The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, but, like, that. The film nerd in me loved Frost Nixon. And it's like, which is going to win? And today, it's the romantic.
Love that.
Dude, I love that.
But tomorrow, it'll probably be the film nerd.
Joy?
I'm going to go Frost Nixon is one, Benjamin Button is two. And I'm so glad I rewatched this as an adult with the film brain to be able to enjoy it so much more. Because when I was whatever I was at this age, I was like, oh, this is good. I don't know why, but it's good. These people's faces are doing good. That's all I knew. I was like, these actors are good. And again, don't know why, but they're good. It's so rich. And it's 2 hours of screen time. There's so much there. There's so much story. There's so much characterization. There's so much. It's so rich. And I love that it still has its quiet moments. It's not just like bam, 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 bam. It's like there's highs and lows. There's a thorough line through it. It was, I think it was really well done.
I agree, too. I'm really glad that I watched this as an adult. If I had seen it in 2008, I don't think I would have been able to click in my brain, like, okay, cool, that was a movie they acted, great. Like, but this, it just, watching as adult, my adult brain, like, I'm so happy. Same with Benjamin Button. Like, I didn't appreciate Benjamin Button as much.
Last
time around. But this one in particular, I was like, wow. Also, I kind of feel like this should be shown in, like, maybe high schools in school. Maybe not just film class, but like history. But like, hey, this is to kickstart their lesson on, Nixon.
This period of time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good learning tool. Like, especially if there's like a teacher being like, well, this is good because of this. They talk about this because of this, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm all about learning through visual aids. And I think this is a really good, like, start to that.
Yeah.
I definitely want to. Go ahead, Joy.
Sorry. And we've watched dumber movies in high school than this than this movie. So I don't see why this can't be an option.
I really want to seek out and watch the original interviews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were to recast this on Broadway now, who do you think would play them? The characters. Go Anna. Oh, sorry. Also, my list is Frost Nixon is one and Benjamin Button's two. I forgot.
Also, before I go into this, the reason why Curious Case of Benjamin Button is number one is for Brad Pitt's. Absolutely.
okay,
Frost Nixon today. I think.
I guess, like, even on in a movie, like, but I would love to see on stage. I think that'd be phenomenal work. Yeah.
I don't know. I would need time.
Okay, just get back to me on that then.
Hooms. But also, I think I was thinking of Joe Mantello.
Joe Mantello? Who the fuck
is
that?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
He's an actor, director. He directs a lot for the stage. He directed The Boys in the Band adaptation. He directed The Normal Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he directed Wicked. On stage.
Oh, really? He's a director on Feud.
Yeah, he works. He's acted with Ryan Murphy a bit. But also, I feel like it's not Joe Mantello that I'm thinking of. So I'll let you know if I think of.
Okay, get back to me.
Yeah.
What about movie wise? If they were to redo the movie, who would be a really good, you know, back and forth? I know you hate these off the cuff questions. So I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to think of a British.
My mind just goes instantly blank.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If I just Google British actors between under 40, around 40, let's see who pops up.
I don't see these questions until I'm in the moment, and then y'all can never answer.
I know you're so witty, and we're so brain dead. I guess.
I mean, I don't have an answer either. I love, especially when it comes to Broadway. I love to consult Anna. Be like, okay, tell me what you think. All right, let's think about it, and we can.
It only gives me British actors under 30. No, nobody would be good for this. Ooh, what if, I don't know, Robert Pattinson? Why not?
Although Robert Pattinson's a great actor, honestly,
he is a great actor. So I feel like even though I'm just throwing his name out there, literally, I feel like he could do it.
He could do any role because he could be like, yeah, I got it, and just, he would research and he'd just be great.
Right.
Although I saw that video of I was on Twitter and someone was like, I don't know, he sounded like Peppa Pig. Oh my God.
This bitch is so posh. And I realized I never really heard his actual voice. He's always pretending to be American or whatever. I'm finding people that look nothing like Nixon, but I guess that could also work just acting wise. Because the first person that popped up was Colin Firth.
I love Colin Firth. Okay, so, sorry, go ahead.
I got nothing. No? All
right.
Okay. I got nothing.
Well, we'll do it next time. So thanks for listening to We Have Thoughts. If you enjoyed hanging out with us, please make sure to like, subscribe, follow, and come talk to us on Instagram and Twitter. We Have Thoughts 3. That's our
thing.
Not hashtag. That's our
handle.
Handle? That's a weird thing to say.
Our handle.
Come back next week when we're talking about Milk, not the drink, the movie.
Ew.
Leche. Okay. Bye.
We cover all of the nut milks.
Yes.
The oat milks as well, but that's at the end. And okay, soy, bye. Just for you few soy lovers.
Milk tea.
Bye.
Bye.